All right, well, good to see you today. Thank you for coming on this Mother's Day Sunday, May the 14th, 2023. Let me remind you, today begins our revival services. Revival services start this morning. We've been praying for revival. Brother Hamlin will be here preaching at 10:45. He'll be preaching then 6 o'clock again tonight. And then each night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the services begin at 7. And that's to give you enough time to get home and, you know, kind of relax a little bit, get changed, and get right back over for the service on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. So I hope you'll get to be here. I want you to look today at our second lesson out of the book of Hosea. Today, we are studying the minor prophets. The Minor Prophets. The series is entitled Responding to God's Faithful Intervention. And today we're going to be in the book of Hosea, chapters 1, 2, and 3. And the lesson is entitled When the Heart Breaks. You ever have a heartbreak? You ever had one? Everybody does. Nobody can go through this life without having their heart broken at some time. But you know what? This is referring to when the heart breaks. God's heart was broken for his people. And in Hosea chapter 2, verse 19, we have our theme verse today. And this is what it says. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness. And in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. You know, faithfulness to God produces faithfulness to one another, does it not? And you know what? When we realize the faithfulness of God unto us, it causes us to want to be faithful unto Him and to others as well. And I thought today in this lesson, it's a basic introduction of these 12 smaller books in the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, that we call the minor prophets. They're called minor, again, like I said last Sunday, because they're smaller. They're just lesser in volume. And they're grouped in our Bible. All 12 are grouped together. Hosea is the first in the list of the minor prophets. And then it's followed by Joel and Amos and Obadiah and Jonah, and Micah, and Nahum, and Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, and Haggai, and Zechariah, and Malachi. Those are the 12 minor prophets. Those are the smaller books that we call the minor prophets. And in time, the time in which God was speaking during these times were, especially under Hosea, during this time, Hosea wrote what God had him to write. And Hosea wrote these words to the children of Israel. And it was probably one of the darkest times in Israel's history. They were backslidden on God. They were worshiping false idols. They were offering their children as sacrifices to a pagan god, throwing them into the fire, offering them as sacrifices unto Moloch and Dagon and all these other false gods, Baal. And Israel was just in a sad spiritual situation. Kind of sounds like America today, does it not? We offer our children to these doctors that hate children and just do away with them. We're just living in a sad day today, even as Hosea was. Israel had turned its back upon God, just as many folks today that are living our world have turned their backs upon God. And they were doing things that were just unsightly. And yet, time and time again, after God blesses them and supplies their need, feeds them when they're hungry, clothes them when they're naked, gives them places to live when they have no homes to live in, they turn their back on God. They again turn their back and they rebel against the God of their deliverance. And they break his heart over and over and over again. And I want to say this today, that you and I, as born again children of God, we have been saved to bring our Savior. We have been born in His family to bring Him honor and glory, not heartbreak, not shame. We're not to treat God like an old tire somewhere that we just stick Him in the trunk, and when we have a distressful time, we pull Him out, stick Him on until we get our problem fixed, and then we throw Him back in the trunk again. That's not the way God wants to be. God wants to be there with us through the thick and the thin, through the good times and through the bad times. He wants us to see that He is able to deliver us from all temptation, from all heartaches, and through all trials that we go through. And we will go through those things. He wants us to understand He's there. He wants to be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The problem was Israel, like so many in our day today, wanted to live the way they wanted to. They wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. They wanted to just do whatever made them feel good and still call themselves the chosen children of God. And I know a lot of folks that call themselves Christians like that today. They don't bother living for God. They don't bother praying and just spending time alone with God, or just taking a little time to read His Word and spend some time with Him alone. They don't take time to go to church anymore. Or if they do, they go to one of the little doodiddly-hop things and feel good about that and come back and don't do anything for God. You know, that's not what it's supposed to be, folks. We go to church. We read our Bible. We tell other folks about Christ because we remember what Christ did for us. And you know what? When I get to thinking about, man, how good God has been to me, and how He delivered me from the hand of the devil. He delivered me from unrighteousness. He brought me out of the muck and mire of this old world, and He set my feet on a solid rock, and He's given me purpose in this life. Man, I can't help but want to tell somebody about that. Amen. I can't help but want to live for Him and love Him and spend time with Him from day to day. The children of Israel had forgotten all that God had done for them. And here, God chose a man named Hosea to bring a message to His people that would strike them right through the heart, because it was God's heart that they had broken. And God did something with Hosea. God called this man. I remember when God called me to preach, and I did not want to preach. That was not my goal. I've told you the story. My goal was to go in the Air Force. I was going to be a flight surgeon, pilot, and I was going to the academy. Already had been down to the recruiting officer, talked to him about getting lined up. And boy, that was my goal. But it wasn't God's goal. And I could not fight against God. I could not fight God. I tried. And I don't know what the situation was in Hosea's life. I don't know much about his background. We look here at the introduction of Hosea. We look at the man. We know that his name means Jehovah saves or Jehovah delivers. We know that much. But we know nothing about his family. We know nothing about his background. We know nothing about the man. But yet God did something with this man. And I think He did it for a purpose, so that Hosea would not just deliver a message. You know, we can do things mechanically. You know that, right? We can do things. You know, somebody can send their mother a card in the mail and say, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Love you." And that's it. It's done. It's over. Some folks don't even get that. Some folks don't even get a text or anything. But you know what? They just do it mechanically. And they don't send it with feeling. They don't do it with love. Man, I got my wife a little special card. And it's crazy. She'll have to tell you about it. But I got a little card on there, and it shows a guy hugging his wife and all this stuff. And I gave her some money to get her some clothes, because I didn't know what size she wore anymore. And I figured, you know what? It's easier for me to just give her what she needs on that and just let her get what she wants with that. Amen? She's happy, and I'm happy. Amen? I don't have to take it back. And I don't like shopping online for somebody I don't know exactly what sizes fit and looking like that. I don't like that. So anyway, I gave her that and gave her a big hug this morning. And I just wanted to know I loved her. I sent her daughter a Mother's Day card. Sent her one of those little American e-card things. It made her laugh and everything. And we sent her a present in the mail because we love her. I miss them. I miss seeing them. Miss seeing our grandkids. Miss getting to see them. Spend some time with them. But you know what? We did what we did because we love them. And what we do, for God because we love Him. Now, Hosea, I don't know what his situation was. I don't know his background. His father here was named Barry. We read that here in verse number 1. The Bible said the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Barry. Okay? But nothing else about his ancestry is known. Nothing about the man is known. So I'm thinking here that perhaps that in the day that Hosea lived, it was probably like it was in the world that God spoke, you know, with different ones. But if you look at verses 1 and 2 here, the Bible said, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land, and he's talking about the land of that Israel was living in at that time, the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from God, from the Lord. Now, Hosea, the time in which he lived, was a very turbulent time. There were many things happening during those times. And when God spoke to Hosea, I think God did with Hosea what he did to give Hosea a burden for his people. Hosea obviously was not a married man at the time that God called him, but God had him take a wife. And I'm thinking here that it may be that this woman at first was pure and lived for God. I don't know. The Bible does not say. But the woman became a harlot. And she was not faithful to Hosea, her husband. And I think God was trying to help Hosea to understand how he felt with Israel. Because Hosea loved Gomer. He loved her. He cared for her. He supplied her needs. And yet she turned her back on him and went out amongst those that didn't care for her. They just, for lack of words, they took what they wanted and they left her behind. And folks, listen, that's what the world does today. The world will take a person for all they are and then leave them with nothing. Leave them with nothing. Leave them sometimes with less than nothing. The world is cruel today because it does not know Christ. And that's why what you and I do for the Lord, that's why when we say we're Christians, but we live like the devil, the world looks at us and laughs and says, well, if that's a Christian, then man, I don't want no part of that. And you know what? I'm going to be honest with you today. Those of us who are saved, we're going to give account unto God for these people that we work with, that we work beside, we live around. We've told that we were Christians and yet we don't serve the Lord and we don't do what's right for God. And they've looked at us and said, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be anything like that. And you know what? I think God was trying to get Hosea's attention here to help the man of God, not to just be mechanical in delivering a message, but to have his heart broken for the people that he was ministering unto. And you know what? That's what we need to do today. We need to have some broken hearts today, folks. You and I need to have broken hearts for one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to lift up one another in prayer. We need to encourage one another. Listen to me. Hosea was living in a day that, man, it was a rough time. And he lived through several kings here. He probably preached this message for 40 or more years. We have an idea here, 45 to 50 years, somewhere around in there, judging by the times of these kings. But who knows for certain? But it was indeed a spiritually dark time for Israel in the days of Hosea. Now I want you to see not only the man and the times he lived in, but I want you to take note here of his message. The message God spoke to the people, to his people, through this messenger, through this, what we refer to as a minor prophet, but he was a man of God. He spoke through Hosea, and it dwelled mainly upon Israel's sin. It dealt with their judgment for sin, the judgment that God was placing upon them for sin. And finally, it dealt with God's love for Israel, even in spite of their sin. Folks, listen to me today. Many times you and I catch ourselves praying, Lord, why don't you just come on back? Take us home. This world is no good. And it's not. But you and I have been left here for a purpose. We have been left to be salt, a preservative, to keep things from getting worse. And we've been sent to be light in a dark world of sin. And you know, I hate to say this, but it seems like most people that call themselves Christians today are not living as if they were trying to preserve the world from getting any worse. And they're not living in the light of the Lord's word themselves. And many folks say, well, look at all the hypocrites. Look at all the hypocrites. Listen, you'll find them in churches, but you'll also find them at work. Yeah, they only come to get the paycheck. You'll find them in the grocery stores. They don't like this food. They talk bad about that grocery store, but they come because there's a sale. It's something they can gain from it. You know what? You got hypocrites all around you, but it doesn't stop anybody from going to work. It doesn't stop anybody from going to the grocery store. It doesn't stop anybody from buying gasoline. It doesn't stop anybody from doing anything else in this world they want to do except going to church. And they say, oh, there's too many hypocrites there. Listen, let me say something. I told a lady this one time. I said, honey, come on. There's plenty of room for one more. Amen. Always room for one more. Listen, we're just sinners saved by grace. Amen? And you need to remember today, were it not for the grace of God, you and I today could still be out lost in the world. We could be living for the devil today. Were it not for the grace of God, man, there's no telling where we would be today. We need to be thankful for what God's done to us. And God has loved us in spite of our shortcomings. The Lord God has loved us when we have failed Him. The Lord has loved us when we did not live for Him the way we ought to. And perhaps God did with you as He's done with many others and with me myself. God had to put you into a place where He could humble you and get you maybe even on your back so that you got no other place but to look up and see the Lord. Listen, such was the day in which Hosea lived. And his message was given by a God that loved his people. God loved Israel. But he wanted them to know how that they had broken his heart. That's why we look at Hosea's marriage and family here now. First of all, let me show you in the passages here, Hosea's wife. God delivered a very vivid message, okay? Let's put it that way. He delivered a very vivid message of his love for the children of Israel through Hosea. And he illustrated their unwillingness to be faithful unto the Lord through Hosea's marriage to a woman named Gomer. And in this book, we see the problem. Look at it. Number one, the problem. Look at verse number two. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, And the Lord said unto Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. In this verse, we see where God had Hosea do something that no man that I ever know of in the Word of God had ever been commanded by God to do before. You know, marriage is a sacred thing. It's good for a man to marry a woman. It's good for a woman to be married to a man. And that's where God left it. Okay? There are not 72 genders that you got to figure out what they are and then try to piece all the puzzle together. That is not... Listen, every car has a positive point and a negative point. Okay? You put two positives together or two negatives together, that car is not going to start. It's not going to work. Now, you can figure out which one's positive, which one's negative, but I'm just saying it takes one or the other. It takes them coming together to create life, to fulfill God's plan for creation. And that's the way God planned it. There is no other way. There's a perverted way that the devil has. It appeals to the flesh somehow. I don't know how. I can't figure that one out. But you know what? The devil has all sorts of things out there that appeal to this world. Why does it appeal to them? Because they're lost. Bless their hearts, they're still blind. They don't know Christ. They don't know the peace and the love and the joy that only God can give to a husband and a wife. But God said, Hosea, I want you to take this woman, and I want to paint a picture for you of how my heart has been broken by my people. And Gomer was loved by Hosea. Hosea loved this woman. And she was taken. She was given in marriage. And the Bible said that when she was taken in marriage, that she was not faithful to the one who had loved her and made her his wife. And so we look at this thing and we see the problem. The problem was sin. Now listen to me today. You go down to Baltimore, you go all through our country, and everybody's talking the racial issues and this problem and that problem. Listen, folks, it is not a skin problem. It is a sin problem today. The heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. That's where we're at today. And hearts are not right with God. That's why you and I today, as born-again believers, we need revival today. I need my heart stirred today to see the need for folks around me so that I can reach them with the message of the gospel and tell them about Christ. We see the message. We see his wife. We see the problem here, okay? And then we see the solutions here. In order for Hosea to truly see the solutions for sin, okay, that God would offer to his backslidden, wayward people, God first wanted Hosea to fully see and understand the problem of Israel's ways. When Gomer didn't come home, when Gomer had been taken advantage of and left just in the darkness of this old world, and Hosea would go and deliver her out of that situation and bring her home. Supply her a place to live, clothes to wear, food to eat, love from a husband that loved her. God was painting the picture of what he had done with Israel, how he had delivered them out of bondage of sin, how he had led them day by day. He led them through the wilderness. Why? So that they could learn to trust him and know that he would supply their every need. Somebody says, well, why doesn't God let me win the lottery? Well, number one, God knows that the lottery is sin, okay? It's wrong. You shouldn't be gambling away your money. And number two, it's because he wants you to learn to trust him. Listen, you never learn to trust him unless you have to go through some hard times in life. And after you've tried everything around you to fix your problem, And you realize, man, I can't do anything. I'm just gonna end it all. I'm gonna jump off my pillowcase or something. I'm just gonna end everything. And God says, wait a minute. I'm still here. I'm still here. I still love you. I wanna help you. I'm here for you today. And God wanted Hosea to see the reality of what the situation was between God and his people. God's heart had been broken. Israel had indeed committed great whoredom, spiritual adultery. And you know what? We see that today in our world today. Folks that say they love the Lord and they're sitting there with a beer can in their hand or a cigarette in their mouth or one of these vapor puff things that they got and smoking all kinds of stuff and acting like the world and talking like the world and not talking like they love the Lord. Listen, that's not the way we need to be living today, folks. Christ knows what's in our heart, yes. But the world only sees the outside so that they can truly see what's on the inside. And if they can't see Christ on the outside, we're either quenching him or he's not living there in that heart. And God wanted Hosea to understand there's only one solution, and that is to turn back to me. To turn back to me. Hosea's wife then became a very vivid illustration of how Israel had so selfishly treated the Lord God. And you know, in breaking his heart, they turned away from their first love. It's what I preached about last Sunday. Turning away from your first love. You leave your first love. Your love for them. Listen, I remember when Lisa and I were dating, and I loved to just hold her hand, okay? Her hand was real little, okay? And it was real soft and cold, usually cold. Cold hands, warm heart, okay, I guess. I hope that's it, all right? But I just loved to sit there and hold her hand. And we were walking back from Andrew's graduation yesterday at Virginia Tech, and I had to park many miles away to be able to get to the stadium for it. And we were walking back, just she had my arm, which is cool. All right. Then she held my hand, and that was cooler. Okay. But I mean, I don't want to lose that first love. And I don't want to lose my first love with the Lord Jesus. But that's what had happened with Israel. And God wanted Hosea to see the problem. They had left their first love. They had forgotten him. So then God further demonstrated what was going on through Hosea and Gomer having children. They brought forth fruit. They brought forth fruit. Now God blessed them with three children. But God went another step further in doing something to help Hosea to understand where Israel was. And God said, Hosea, I want you to name your children a certain name. Each one of them is going to have a different name, but it's going to have a meaning. In those days, a child's name meant something, okay? I know on Indian tribes sometimes they say that the husband and wife name their children the first thing they see as they come out of the teepee after she's given birth, okay? Like falling star or floating feather or, you know, rambling brook, okay? Whatever. And God had Hosea name these children. Now look here at verse number 3, beginning of verse number 3. The Bible said that Gomer had children. She conceived and bare him a son. The first child was a boy. And the Lord said unto him, unto Hosea, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. Lo-Ruhamah. For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God and will not save them by bow nor by sword nor by battle, by horses nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. And then God said, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people and I will not be your God. Boy, think about that. Three names. The first little boy named Jezreel. It's representative of a place where God judges. He sows judgment. He scatters. Okay? And because of all the things that had been happening, Jezreel is a place that, well, you remember about Ahab and his wife. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. And he wouldn't give it to him. And Ahab went home, fell on his bed, kicked his legs, and pitched a little fit. And Jezebel says, oh, baby, what's the matter? Naboth won't give me what I want. He says it's his. He won't. And Jezebel says, I'll take care of it, sweetheart. And she went and had Naboth killed and then took the land and gave it to her husband. And folks, listen to me. That's the way the world does today. But it was in Jezreel. Lo-Ruhamah, the Bible said that second child was a little girl. And the name means not cared for, not pitied. It was a symbol of what would befall Israel for their sin and rebellion. And God told Hosea, he said, I will have no mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. It would seem that they would be uncared for. Why? Because they had rebelled, and God said, judgment is coming. And then the third son, Lo-Ami, the Bible said that this is a little boy, and the name literally meant not my child or not my people. Boy, that's a shame that God would look at his people and say, that's not my son. That's not my children. They don't look like me. They don't act like me. They're not my children. But it was a picture that they had utterly sinned against God. But you know what? God told him these things because he wanted the people to see how they had broken his heart. And God loved them so much that he also gave them some symbols that would be reversed. And I want you to look here at Hosea chapter 1, beginning in verse 10 and going all the way down through chapter 2, verse 1. We actually see here where God's tone changes toward his people. And God has Hosea foretell both Israel and Judah's restoration with God. There's a day coming when they will be restored unto God. And they will be God's people. They will dwell as one. Listen to what he said. Yet the number of the children shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said of them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. Guess who that head's going to be? It's going to be the Lord, the Messiah. That's going to be him. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. And then he goes on in chapter 2, verse 1 to say, say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Notice that the lo, which means no or not, is gone off of those names now. And he says, now you are cared for. Now you are pitied. Now I see you as my people. And that restoration day is coming one day. And boy, what a day that's going to be. But I want you to understand something. Israel was going to have to be chastened for their sin. And that's why Hosea talks about here in Hosea chapter 2, verses 2 through 13. He talks to them about it, and he makes them understand there is punishment that's going to come for the sins that you committed, for breaking the heart of God through their rejecting the true and living God and worshiping after false gods and idols. The children of Israel had turned unto these false gods. They had turned unto false pagan idols that They thought their blessings came from those false gods. But it was God the whole time that was taking care of their needs. And God said, you know what? Enough is enough. If you look at verse number 8, speaking of Israel, God said of them, in verse number 8, she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. They offered all these things unto Baal because they thought Baal had given those things to them. It wasn't Baal. It was God that had been blessing them. Baal was a piece of rock. Baal was a rock with ears and mouth and eyes and tongue that couldn't see, hear, talk, or speak. Baal was a first false god. And sadly, as a result of their rejection of the Lord, look at verse number 11. God explains in those verses, starting at verse 11, he said he was going to cause all her mirth to cease. Her feast days were going to be gone, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. All those things are going to be taken away. The joy of the Lord, of being God's children, was going to be taken away. Why? Because of their rejection of God. You know, it's truly sad when the hand of chastisement has to fall upon a person because of sin. And you know what the sad thing is, sadder than that, is that most of the time people blame God for all their problems. Well, God, if you really love me, you wouldn't let this happen. Listen, God made you a free will being. And you can choose how you're going to live for him. And you know, let me say this. There's only two kinds of children in the world. Only two. And I'm not talking about a boy and a girl. I'm talking about there's only two kinds of children in this world. Ones that, number one, love their parents enough to listen to their word, abide by their direction and commandments, and they love them enough to do what their parents say do. That brings joy to the hearts of those parents. Mothers, that brings joy to your heart to see your children living for you and for doing for what's right. The second type of child is one that doesn't love their parents enough, and they choose to just live any way they want to. They say, oh, I don't care what my mama says. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what my daddy says. I'm going to do what I want to do. And you know what? The sad thing is that's the same way it is with people that call themselves Christians today. There's only two types of Christians. There's only two type of people that are saved. Ones that love the Lord enough to live for him, obey him, and ones that don't love him enough and they choose to disobey him. And Israel had chosen to disobey him. But God said there's coming a day, verses 14 through 23, of restoration. He said, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. That valley of Achor, okay, is going to become a place of hope. Not of judgment anymore, but a place of hope. And love and restoration, and God is going to provide it. And then I want you to see the last part, Hosea chapter 3. You see here the chapter 3, it's not but just a few verses, but we see here how God says, go yet and love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods and who love flagons of wine. And you know what Hosea did? He went to where his wife was and he purchased her back. He bought her on the slave market. She'd been left there by the world and he bought her and brought her back unto himself. He delivered her from all of her captives. And you know what? That reminds me of what Christ did for me one day. God did that for you. God did that for me on Calvary. He purchased our salvation. And folks, the whole thing here is that one day God is going to indeed restore Israel. And she will indeed serve the Lord who has loved her and been a faithful friend to her through all the years. She's going to love him in return. You know what? It's one thing to give love, but it's another thing to be able to receive it. And God's heart is not meant to be broken, folks. You and I today need to love the Lord too. Amen. We need to serve him with all of our heart. And what a day when Israel is restored, What a day that's going to be, not just for Israel, but for all the world. All of those that know Christ as their Savior. What a day that's going to be. I hate to cut it short, but I want to make sure you got time to get out here and get where you need to go. I love you today. Thank you for being here, mothers. Thank you for being here for Mother's Day today. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, I do love you today. And I thank you, Lord, for this lesson that shows us your great love for your people. And Lord, not only do you love the children of Israel, and you gave yourself for them, you delivered them from a multitude of heartaches and problems and situations, but God, you've done the same thing for us as your born-again children. I pray, Lord, today that you'll help us to love you in the same manner. And Lord, not to break your heart, but God, to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, in all that we do for you. And Lord, if there be someone today under the sound of my voice that's never been saved, please, Lord, speak to them today. Help them, Lord, to see their need of a Savior. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. Bless Brother Hamlin now as he comes to preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We love you today. Thank you for being here, mothers and fathers.